Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button to Edge Got In, to your mind, your will, and those crazy emotions. So, have you been hijacked this week? Perhaps you woke up and you connected with God and were starting your day filled with the Holy Spirit with the intention of serving and honoring God and making him recognizable. And then all of a sudden, you run into another human being. They happen to be everywhere. And Shazam, you got spun. You got hijacked. You got hoodwinked. You took offense. You started telling story. And then all of a sudden, you're completely thrown into the pit of strong emotion, strong negative emotion, which impacts our behavior. No shocker there. Be very careful what you're thinking because your behavior follows what you think. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. This is a job for Jesus. We're in the midst of the series and we're wrapping it up today called Spring Clean Your Mind. Stop thinking of this one thing. At the end of the podcast today, you will learn what this one thing is and some techniques to stop thinking of this one thing. This one thing fuels envy, strife, jealousy, comparison, shame, despair. Falling into the pit. This is a job for Jesus. So we continue spring cleaning our mind today. If you're new to Edge God In, welcome. You can find all of our podcasts at edgegodin.com. Along with each podcast, you will see listed underneath the title the scriptures that we use, as well as any resources referenced, and a one sheet that you can print out. We have many groups out there in the world that are using the podcast series or individual podcasts and doing small group studies, which we're very excited and grateful for that. That's our intention at Edge God In, to empower your human potential in Christ together. Encourage one another as long as it's called today. So if you haven't started a study group, have at it. Print out the one sheet every week. Choose the study you want to do or the several podcasts. It all has to do with overcoming those strong emotions. It's linked and is the voice of the Emotional Intelligence in Christ Project. And you can lean into the different studies we have. I was thinking the other day, we have a study, if you haven't listened to it or been a part of it, on the DISC. There's the DISC is a personality profile, the biblical DISC. We actually use it at Lead Like Jesus. We also use it at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Excuse me, as one of our assessments that's available over there at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com, along with the EQ, biblical EQ, that gives you the readout of your emotional intelligence in Christ as well. We did a series on the link between the DISC results as well as the emotional intelligence in Christ results with Ken Voges, who is the creator of biblical DISC. And it's very fascinating to find out how you're wired. This actually walks hand in hand with spring cleaning your mind, because when you know how you're wired, it's easier to course correct. If you happen to be a high D, you're a task-driven person and you want to get her done, you also want control. And so your biggest fear is loss of control. And so one of your vices will be in that area that you'll be triggered into strong negative emotions, is when you feel out of control. If you're a high I, you're a people person and you want social acceptance. Your biggest fear is rejection. If you're high S, you're process driven. You appreciate process. You don't do well with last minute requests. In fact, you solve problems away from the initial conversation. You need time to think through things. You want routine. And your biggest fear is loss of routine. Or perhaps you're the C, which is logic driven. You want to get it right. Your biggest fear is criticism. If you haven't explored that four-part series, I think it's an eight-part series. We start out with the DISC and then link it to emotional intelligence in Christ. So if you put in the DISC, DISC, you'll have the at emotional intelligence, or I'm sorry, I'm confusing you, confusing myself here, at edgegodin.com. If you put in understanding the D or the I or the S or the C, you'll find those podcasts, or put in DISC or emotional intelligence in Christ, and you'll be able to locate those at edgegodin.com. The 6-week study guide at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com is a great support resource for our topic these last several weeks, spring cleaning your mind. It's a 6-week journey on how to learn how to be the boss of your thoughts and resurrect the mind of Christ. So let's jump in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, we just continue our desire and give you permission to spring clean our mind. Clean out of our mind all of those thought forms that are based on false beliefs, our own filters, judgments, false perceptions, and assumptions. And we ask that you replace it with your mind. We're told that we have your mind and the same spirit that rose you from the grave. So have your way with us, Lord. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our minds and heart give us the ability to be able to course correct, turn away from those things that do not glorify you, turn away from that one thing that causes us so much suffering. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone who's tuning in today. And I pray for a special blessing on every person that's tuning in today. Give them the grace of release, release of attachments, release of fears and self-doubts, that they may surrender their lives completely to you and live in the thrill of the surrendered life. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, spring clean your mind. Stop thinking of this one thing. So what do you think that one thing is, if you were to guess? The one thing that causes so much suffering between our two ears. It has 4 letters, and it starts with an S. Self. Stop thinking of self. I'm going to pull in a little bit of that book I've been referencing called He Leadeth Me by Walter Cizik, Czek. And this has been one of the most powerful reads I've read in a long time, just saying, He Leadeth Me. And Walter was a Polish-American priest and a missionary, and he did work in the Soviet Union for 23 years. However, the majority of the time he was over there, he was falsely accused of being a spy and therefore was in solitary confinement at Lubyanka prison, which is a place you do not want to go. Let's just put it that way. And he was in a room with just a single bulb hanging from the ceiling in solitary confinement for 3 straight years, additional 15 years in hard labor camps in Siberia. And he was captive in these labor camps and Soviet prisons. And President JFK negotiated a prison exchange that led to his freedom 1 month before JFK was assassinated. And so Walter Cizik, in this book, He Leadeth Me, this is his journey, his writings, his thoughts, and what he experienced while he was unjustly accused. Don't be surprised, my friend, at the painful trials that you're going through. Jesus suffered profoundly, and he does not waste suffering. That's another podcast series if you haven't checked that one out. Don't waste your suffering. Jesus helps you with that. So Walter had this experience of being falsely accused. And I'm going to read an excerpt from the book. I'm going to start out with that simply because it really speaks to what our topic is about today. So in this particular spot in the book, he had been coerced into signing these papers, admitting that he was guilty, yet he was innocent of being a spy. And so after he did it, when he said, I went back to my cell after signing these papers, I stood shaken and defeated. At first, I couldn't even grasp the dimensions of what had happened to me in the interrogator's office and why. I was tormented by feelings of defeat, failure, and guilt. Yet above all, I was burning with shame Physically, I shook with spasms of nervous tension and release. When at last I began to regain some control of my nerves, my thoughts, and my emotions, I turned at once to prayer as best I could. I reproached myself for having caved into fear, for giving way to panic. And then I turned to reproaching God. Why had he failed me? Why hadn't he inspired me to speak out boldly? Why had he not shielded me by the grace from the fear of death because they had threatened him, if you don't sign this, you'll be killed? Why didn't he allow me to have a heart attack from the tension or the stroke? I trusted him to help me. But little by little, under the inspiration of grace, I began to wonder about myself and my prayer. Why did I feel this way? I'd acted and panicked. I yielded under the threat of death. The act of signing had been prompted by an almost animal-like urge for survival. Why should I feel so ashamed? Slowly, reluctantly, excuse me, under the gentle proddings of grace, I faced the truth that was at the root of my problem and my shame. The answer was a single word: I. I was ashamed. Because I knew in my heart that I had tried to do as much on my own and I had failed. I felt guilty because I realized finally that I had asked for God's help, but had really believed in my own ability to avoid evil and to meet every challenge. I'd spent much time in prayer over the years. I'd come to appreciate and thank God for his providence and care for me and of all men, but I'd never really abandoned myself to it. In a way, I had been thanking God all the while that I was not like the rest of men, that he had given me good physique, steady nerves, and a strong will, and that with these physical graces given by God, I would continue to do his will at all times and to the best of my ability. In short, I felt guilty and ashamed because in the last analysis, I had relied almost completely on myself and this most critical test, and I had failed. So he goes on to speak about how the shame came from the fact that he had been trying to achieve his efforts, his goal of being faithful under the interrogation with his own efforts rather than the grace of God. So this is when he had his first real conversion of moving from self, he says, to moving to grace, or as he puts it, the sense of guilt and shame I felt in my failures to put grace ahead of nature, my failure to trust primarily in God rather than in my own powers. The Spirit had not abandoned me, but I failed in this area. And this is where he began again with God. I had seen death almost solely in terms of self, and not as the moment of my return to God, as it truly was. I therefore did have reason to feel shame. And so I completely abandoned myself to God's will. He who endures to the end will be saved, as he quotes. He says that this struggle was, it was God versus Walter Chisick. God was testing me by this experience like gold in the furnace. And this was the first time in his life where he truly, truly died to self. So, spring clean your mind. Stop thinking of this one thing. Self. Yourself. And as he speaks, he goes on to speak about the difference between allowing nature, your human efforts, self efforts, versus grace to move through life. And when you come to the end of yourself, and many of you know my story, back in 2006, when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer 1 week prior to my final divorce court date and went through 14 surgeries, double mastectomy, 16 rounds of chemo, additional 2 years of chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, 14 surgeries due to third degree burns on my back. They had to graft my front. They had to graft my back on my front, and several setbacks during that time. That was my imprisonment. And my death to self, because I too relate to Walter in that I had pretty much by my own efforts been able to achieve what I felt God wanted me to achieve and stay in his will. So where do you stand with that today, my friend. Are you trying to attain your goals by human effort, as the scripture said? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? We do this all the time. You know you're trying to attain it by human effort because you'll have the negative emotions that go along with our failure to attain what we want. So a couple things to keep in mind here. Your life is not about you. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to God. Your life has been given to you by another and exists for his purpose. And as Bishop Barron says, we exist, breathe, think, because our existence, our breath, our life, and our mental capacity have been willed into being by the power of God. So, as Ephesians 3:20 says, the power that works within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. As Walter Chiswick learned and found a true conversion from his own nature to grace and surrendering all to God, stop thinking of self. It's beautifully summed up by Paul in Galatians 2:20. I've been put to death with Christ on the cross. So it's no longer I who live, but God who lives within me. This life I live by faith alone in the Son of God who loved me and loves me and gave his life for me. Walter accepted his situation at Lubyanka prison, and in the labor camps, and he mentions that the people that died were those who didn't accept the situation that they were in, didn't decide to, hey, I'm going to get up. Every morning he got up, laid out his clothes, did his prayers, and did his work with excellence for God, as if working for God and not man. But the people that fought against that ended up dying and not accepting where they were at. And so Walter accepted his situation as at the slave labor camp for 13 years. He remembered the acronym I shared quite some time ago that I had heard in some really good preaching by Mike Todd, Pastor Mike Todd, service. And the acronym of service is this. The S stands for submitted. Submit yourself to God. And this is a tool to overcome self. You wake up and you declare the acronym of service. The S stands for submit. Dear God, I submit all that I am to you. I don't want to think a thought, speak a word, or have entertained anything in my heart unless you will it. The E stands for excellence. No matter what I'm called to today, whether it's scrubbing a toilet or presenting to 1,000 people, help me to do it with excellence and everything in between, because I'm serving you. I'm not serving man. The R stands for reputation. Make me a woman or man of a good reputation. Help me to be vested, the V. That means I'm secure in my position. I'm protected in you so that I can preach the gospel without fear. Help me to be invested. That means I'm all in and I'm covered by your grace. I am covered by your grace and equipped, which is the E. The C is covered by grace. The E is equipped for the seat you prepared for me to sit in. I want to hear at the end of my life, well done, my good and faithful servant. You chose the love of me and the love of others above self. Those who fought against the situation at hand died, as Walter Chiswick said. So when you submit with service for God, work as if you're working for God and not for man, that's the key to our freedom. It's always the key to our freedom. God, I'm working for you, not for man. Relinquish control to something that's bigger than you. This is a quote from Father Chiswick. The one thing is to stop thinking about self. One thing, stop thinking about yourself. I am nothing. You are everything. As I surrender all to you, I lack nothing and gain everything. I am nothing, you are everything. As I surrender all to you, I lack nothing and gain everything. Humility is to not think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less, as we mentioned several times. That's a daily reminder for us from C.S. Lewis. Philippians 3, 8 through 10 says, I regard everything as a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Before that, he laid out his credentialing, which for him, his worldly status was at the top. Paul's worldly status, he couldn't have done anything better. He followed the path of worldly success in the Jewish culture, Hebrew of Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin. He had it all right. Yet he's saying, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness that's not my own, meaning I'm not achieving this by my own efforts. So I'm going to pause for a moment here and ask you a coaching question. What are you striving to achieve by your own efforts these days? The clues usually involve undesirable negative emotions, fatigue, lack of fruit, lack of peace. What are you trying to achieve by your own efforts? He goes on to say, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. He says it again, faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. So do I. How about you? If we have one want other than thinking of self, Lord, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection in my life rather than me achieving this goal or doing this or having that. We have an insatiable desire, my friends, to know. As knowing in some strange way unlocks a sense of security, right? We think, if I know, then I'll feel secure. If I know how this will turn out, I can have peace or feel prepared. If I know why this happened, then I can let it go. And then I can move on. Notice again, as Walter Chisick did, it's what is the one word? I, me, my. Self-driven versus driven, surrender-driven. So if you walk away from this podcast from anything, may it be, dear God, grant me the grace to live the surrendered life, the thrill of the surrendered life over the self-driven life. If anyone desires to come after me, as Jesus said, let him deny himself, deny self, die to self, take up his cross. What's your cross? You need to know. Your own efforts, selfish ambition, vain conceits. It's Philippians 2, 3. And follow me, Matthew 16, 24. Selfish ambition is actually motivation to put one's own needs and interests above another's. So think about you doing life this last week for a moment. How much of what you chose to do, if you were to just list everything you did, on one side, just do a quick T-chart. One side lists what you did in the last 3 days. On the right side, write your motivation as to why you chose to do what you did. And then the third step is to remove all those items and to course correct that have a selfish motivation. It's a great exercise to do to reveal, why am I really doing this? We only have so much time in a day, right? One's own needs and interests above another's. Basically, me above you living. How's that going for you out there in Earth School? How often do you think about, in 1 hour, the needs of other people? How often do you think of your needs? Self versus other. Do nothing. Nothing. Out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Means not letting our actions be motivated by selfishness, pride, and I'm going to one-up you. One of the most powerful prayers God placed on my heart several years ago, I've shared, is, "Dear God, I pray for the success of others over my own." Ooh, ouch. That's a tough one. And yet it frees us. Philippians 2:3. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. As we put others first, conceit and pride take a back seat always. Jesus' love was self-sacrificial. This is something that I'm going to give 2 weeks between now and the next podcast for your involvement with the Holy Spirit to remove the corners and the crevices of self-focused living in your life. Take a 2 week self-fast. How much more today than yesterday can you think of the needs of others above your own? How much more next hour than this hour can you think of the needs of others above your own? As we put others first, conceit and pride take a back seat. Jesus' love was self-sacrificial. He didn't seek his own glory, but sought to serve the interest of others. Matthew 20, 28. Son of man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our guide. He was referred to the rabbi, right? The rabbi. So much more. He's the Son of the living God, and he'll give us the grace to do this because he's asking us to do it. So ask for that grace. Dear Lord, help me to think less of myself today than yesterday. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so you can increase. The only way that God can increase in your life, my friend, is if you decrease. So let's take a little closer look at what some of these thoughts look like. Jesus promises, as we seek to glorify God by dying to selfish desires and focusing on meeting the needs of others, that he'll take care of our needs. Matthew 6, 24 through 25. Basically, there's a little statement that I've heard many times when I've been anxious about different things professionally. God says, and had a choice point to serve rather than to work on something to expand my business. I constantly hear this one phrase, take care of my business. You take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. You take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. He said that about 10 years ago, and I've heard that drop in, that sound bite, many different times. Take care of God's business and he'll take care of yours, my friends. So common thoughts around self. And as I'm reading this list, simply just be aware of what you identify with, what you've said. Okay. These are just common thoughts around self. This is when the I is in the way. What will people think? How will people respond? Will this person do what I want them to do? Who will listen to me? Will I get what I want? How do I look? I want to be included, acknowledged, appreciated. I want to get it done right. I just want to do it right. I want to do it right. And be careful of those false motives because many times we're like, oh, I just want to do it right because I want to do a good job. I. Dear God, help me to do it the way you want to do it, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. I surrender all to you. So I'm asking you to flip the script these next 2 weeks. I want to come across as if I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to sound stupid. I don't want people to think poorly of me. I don't want to look stupid. How do I come across? What do people think of me? Will I be able to do this? How will I handle this? How can I make this happen? Achieve this goal? How can I do this? Remember that we are, Ephesians 3:10, the handiwork of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. Again, our breath, our life, all that we are has been willed into being by another, the power of God within us. So I'll end with this today, my friends. Colossians, as part of your or school practice in the area of dying to self and taking a self hiatus or abandoning your fixed focus on what I think, what I want, what I need, is another way of saying it. Let's fast from self. Colossians 2:20 says, if with Christ you died to the eternal spirits of the universe, why do you live as though you still belong to the world? Why are you thinking from self? Or as Walter said, from nature. How can I accomplish this? When was the last time this last week where you said, I've got to get this done? I got to achieve this. Or how am I going to get this done? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how many of our thoughts are self-infused. And pray for deliverance. Pray for me, my friends, and I'll pray for you. Why do you submit to its regulations? Think like and live like the world. Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. All of these are destined to perish with use. They're human commands, human teachings. It's all about me, myself, and I. And Colossians 3, which I'm going to ask you to read, Colossians 3 with the Holy Spirit, and really read it once through and then read it again and ask the Holy Spirit, what is for me that you want me to use, that you want me to use to help me to die to self from these scriptures in Colossians 3. So, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, not the things below. Set your minds on things above, not the things on the earth. So another way of saying that, set your minds, think about what God wants you to think about. Don't think about what you want to think about. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ. If you want to find true life, my friends, seek Christ all day long. Anytime that you have a free gap, read the scriptures, pray, do spiritual breathing. I recently heard a really cool spiritual breathing exercise where you breathe in, just say the name of Jesus, and exhale, mercy. Jesus, exhale, mercy. And as you're breathing in and exhaling, you're focusing on Jesus' mercy in that situation. So take the time to know that your life is hidden in Christ. He goes on to say, therefore, in chapter 3, 1 through 5, so first he says, so, and he says, set your minds on things above. Think about the things of heaven. Then he says, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Self-focused thoughts. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Idolatry is wanting anything but God and his will for you. Anger, rage, malice, abusive language, lying. Put to death all of that. That comes from selfishness. Then he says, clothe yourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other and love each other. So the self-focused ramifications are listed in the first part of Colossians. That's anger, rage, malice. That's selfish thinking. Actually, selfish, self-focused thinking fuels all of that. When was the last time you were angry or spun or frustrated? Think about what was behind that. Someone didn't do something the way you wanted it done. Someone didn't listen to you. Follow up. Something happened, and it's coming from that selfish space of me, myself, and I. We're not talking about abuse here. That's a different conversation. We're just talking, we're not just, but we're focusing on negative self-interested thoughts that lead to self-ish behavior. Greed, impurity. The four things that Jesus wants to drive out of your temple. That's another series. When we have insecurity, attachments, pride, and greed, all coming from self-focus. Clothe yourselves and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of God dwell in you. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord. So there's two lets here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That means you have a choice. You cannot let it rule in your hearts. And let the word of God dwell within you, or you cannot let the word of God dwell in you. So these two things that it ends with, as I was meditating on my own selfishness and self-interest, vain conceits, and everything that goes along with that, these two phrases at the end of Colossians chapter 3 are very powerful. Even if you just meditated on them all day long, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of God dwell within you. So those two things, you have a choice point. So how much more can you do that today than yesterday? And that's what we'll close on that as your invitation to do a fast, a self-fast, fast from self, self-focused thoughts and self-focused perspectives and reactions to life. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider the needs of others better than your own. This is a job for Jesus, my friends. So relinquish control to something that's bigger than you. The will of God, which is taking place all day long, all night long. And it's like being a fish swimming in water. Wherever you swim, you're engulfed by it. It's just getting the mind out of the way, the selfish mind out of the way, so that you can allow yourself to be in the flow of God's will for you and his love for you, which, by the way, he adores you today. Don't forget that. Resist tuning into any opposing conversation. God adores you, and he has plans for you today. Don't listen to any other script. How you'll be able to make that come alive, and the result is a peace that passes all human understanding, is as you stop thinking about self. So I'm excited for you in this journey. I'm excited for me. Pray for me. Please pray for me, because this is a constant journey of overcoming self, me, myself, and I. And see what the Holy Spirit has for you these next 2 weeks as you take a self fast. So give him heaven out there, my friends. There's enough of the dark side going on. God bless you.